Hello and welcome to The Inner Gamer, episode 134. We are your weekly dose of video game news, reviews, opinions, and discussions made for and by our listeners. My name is Brett Yanosky.
I'm Austin Morales.
I am Devin DeRee. Today on The Inner Gamer, we have some games we played. I played Splatoon 2. Brett plays Undertale. And Austin, shocker, here is going to talk a little bit about PUBG.
I played Splatoon 2, too.
We all played Splatoon 2. In the gaming news, we have some cool stuff from Stardew Valley. A game has released after 20 years of development. Titanfall 2 should have had some better numbers. And then Blizzard has some interesting things coming around the corner. Maybe, maybe not. We'll see. For our discussion topic, we have our talk about paid betas and early access. Are they good? Are they bad? What are the pros and cons? Let us know your thoughts. And then to wrap up the week, we'll be doing our video game releases, what's coming up next week, and what we're all going to play. So please stick around, and Brett, please cue the music. Welcome to the Inner Gamer.
It is August 8th, 2017. Welcome to the Inner Gamer Podcast. If you like what you hear, please head on over to iTunes and tell a friend, or you can leave us a review, which is also really cool. We would love to have some reviews. Also, if you guys are in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, make sure on August 18th you come by Community Brewery. We will be there. We will be having a Switch party.
Up
there will
in
be
Dallas
games.
Beach.
What he said.
I don't know why I decided to add my own synth noises, but
you'll
okay.
get to see our faces in person.
Don't sell that. Don't no, sell
also,
that.
Also, we don't have a soundboard yet of Charlie making his noises.
Oh, well,
that's yeah. going to be our
that's
soundboard.
That's going to be a thing.
That needs to be a thing. So yeah,
but it's going to be Switch based, right? It's all
yeah,
going to be about.
We'll have ARMS, Splatoon. Well, probably not Splatoon since we'll talk about this, but it's got multiplayer issues. But we'll have ARMS, and then we'll have Mario Kart again, and we'll have some other game like Overcooked most likely will be
yeah.
there.
We'll bring
and but we'll have a lot of stuff happening. So yeah. there'll be that. There'll be beer. They're going to have some new beers on stock for us.
Hell
so that'll
yeah.
be cool. No details on that yet, but stay tuned. Check out our Facebook page.
Bring your mom. Bring your dad. Bring your kids. Bring your uncle. Bring your cousins. Bring your little
bring
ones.
Bring your animals.
Bring yeah, your animals.
Community Brewery allows them.
Bring your fish.
I don't know about a fish.
Community Brewery,
a
all
weird.
I've seen is dogs and like one cat, and I just right. can't imagine somebody walking
there was
with
a pig
fucking
there.
Fish bowl just, this is my fish, Reginald.
So speaking of fish, let's jump into Devin. You've been playing Splatoon. They have salmon in that game.
Okay, well.
That's my lovely
so
transition.
For the audience, we have reviewed this. Go back to the last episode.
Yes, 132 and 133. We talked about this a little bit. We're going to do another follow-up.
So we're doing
playing
another
more.
One. I finally got to play it. Yes, I've been playing Splatoon 2. It is a lot of fun. It is the same amount of fun that I had when I got to test it out at PAX.
Right, right.
It's... We've already gone over like I mean what it is. It's
yeah,
you know
what it is,
a
what
third person
play.
Shooter
yeah.
based on you know the lightheartedness of not actually killing each other, but so much as splattering the entire multiplayer map with paint. I can say that it is still a ton of fun with the mechanics of all the different weapon types you get with either you know a machine gun of paint or you get a big splat roller or you get in my case is like the paint launcher. It's the sniper rifle, essentially. It's like
nice.
A sniper rifle
nice.
For paint.
Oh yeah, that one's pretty cool actually.
That's my favorite. I love that one. I've gotten into a couple of the single player missions. I beat the first boss.
Nice. It's fun, right?
It's fun. Yeah, I enjoy it.
Yeah.
That's the one I need to play more of because everybody told me that it is an enjoyable like platformer-y
yeah.
kind of feeling.
No, absolutely.
Nintendo.
Very much a platformer with all the stuff about paint. And then the multiplayer stuff is obviously just as fun. It does have some weaknesses, though, that I have had some frustrations with. From the single player side, I don't like how they try to introduce all these mechanics. And like it's kind of trial and error about how you get stuff to work or not work. The dialogue is a little annoying.
Yes.
A little bit.
A little
especially,
bit.
Well, especially when you're trying to like actually figure out mechanics. Like when you're trying to learn that you're supposed to be a squid and leap across stuff and all you hear is that
what
is yeah
I like
exactly
that. Yeah that's good impression
okay, thank you
It's cutely weird.
It's cutely weird.
Annoying.
Well, and again, when you're being introduced to it and people are talking like that, okay, yeah, that's cute and fun. But when you're actually trying to learn how to play the damn game,
right,
that's annoying.
Yeah.
And the weaknesses from the multiplayer side, as me and Brett just kind of discovered a little while ago as we were pre-recording,
right,
is that, God, the multiplayer matchup is just so arbitrary and it pisses me off. Like, Nintendo, get your shit together when it comes to building a good multiplayer setup. It's not hard to build a lobby where you appropriately learn how to match people up with the like appropriate level other people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Overwatch does it great.
That's, you know, true.
What? Yeah, because I sit there going, okay, I'm a level 4. Let me hop into the multiplayer lobby. Hopefully, I get some fairly new people such as myself. No, I'm paired up against like 8 level 25s who all have leveled up gear and perks and shit.
That was the hard part when I first started, because when I first jumped into it, there was already people level 10. And yeah. I was level 1 with the basic junior gun.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, I can't.
You're not going to be able to do shit. No.
It's like,
you're going to get stomped at every turn.
Did you also notice that when you're in the multiplayer lobby and you're waiting for a match to start, like, you know how after you finish one, it like jumps you into the next lobby to start a new one?
Right.
If you don't say no and you jump into the next lobby, you can't get out unless you press the home screen and close the game.
Yeah, correct. In which case, the game will scold you for.
Yeah.
Do they really?
Oh, yeah. It tells you, like, hey, we noticed that you hopped out of the lobby. If you keep that behavior up, we're going to have to ban you from the multiplayer for a little while.
Wait, really? I didn't see that. Oh, that's funny.
So,
well, because I got annoyed, but I was like, God damn it, I forgot to get out. All right, I'll just back out of it. And I did it like twice. And I came back and the game shook its finger at me like a scolding mother. I was like, really?
Geez.
Yeah.
So me and Lizette actually got to play together. And I was like, this is really weird.
This is Austin's girlfriend, by the way.
Lizette jumped in with me, or I jumped in with her. We played a few matches, but it didn't keep us together every time.
Yeah.
So there was,
how does that happen?
I know. Like,
multiplayer game, multiplayer shooters have been out for how many years now?
Too long.
Too long.
I mean, since the 64, at least.
In their defense, Nintendo's never made a multiplayer shooter until Splatoon, I feel like, right?
Okay.
I mean, like, as their own thing. I mean,
no excuse.
I'll go with that.
So, like, somebody made a good point the other day. I was listening to a podcast, and they were saying that Nintendo knows Nintendo. They don't really... It seems like they never look out beyond Nintendo to take hints at what other people are doing.
Yeah, and it does make sense to me, because here they have this really awesome platform now, and they have this really polished game already, but you go in the multiplayer and it sucks. And it's like, I don't understand.
Yeah. You're hitting
all the marks.
Because, I mean, the multiplayer is good, and it is still very fun, but there are just so many aspects of it that are very frustrating. Yeah. The matchmaking and the pairing up with friends, because, and get this, if you haven't gotten it yet, here's something frustrating. If you're getting this for the sole purpose of, I want to play Splatoon with my friends, good fucking luck, because the only way you can play with your friends is, let's say you're all on it now, you all have your Switches in hand, you got Splatoon, and you're ready to dive in. Well, okay, I'm going to get into a match, and let's pair up. No, one friend has to start a match, and then the rest have to join that friend, and you better hopefully the lobby isn't full.
No, I have a question. So have you guys done the shoal or the other section, where I think that's just when you want to play with your friends in the same room, it's like local multiplayer. They have that option, which is a separate lobby area.
I haven't tried that.
So I wonder how that differs, if that's easier but then it's limited
local.
It'd be up to 8 players, so it'd be just together.
4-on-4,
So it'd be the same necessarily, but
hopefully you have
that many different Switches too. You can't have split screen, which I found out, unfortunately. And then Salmon Run's not always available. That just like shows up at random times whenever they want
to. Yeah, it was like from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. or something like that.
I don't know.
The last time, one of the ones I picked or I was looking at, I don't know.
Yeah,
it's still a great game. I dig it, and I'm having a lot of fun playing it. But it comes with its...
I am actually going to say a delay.
Oh, yeah.
If wait till it drops in price, I would say, before dropping the big... You know,
it is $60.
It is $60.
It's funny because I said it was a dig on the episode 132.
I mean,
so
I
we're
dig
conflicting,
it.
But I think I agree with you. As I've been playing more, I would probably agree with a delay. I would get it. So here's the thing.
I
with
would
this.
Think
if
the
you
$30
want this to be a primary,
this.
If you want this to be a primary game that you play all the time, that's not this game. if you want this to be something that you play in between sessions, or like for me, like I play it when I'm going to the bathroom, and I play it whenever I'm at my lunch break at work.
See, that's it's my lunch break game right now. That's what I play in my lunch. Is I enjoy, like, I'll go eat my meal real quick, and then I'll sit on the couches and bam, Splatoon for a bit.
Definitely.
So delay for me, but
cool.
You got to play a cool one that I've heard is cool. I haven't played it myself.
Yeah,
but I've been told I should.
After I finished playing Night in the Woods a long time ago, I went on to Reddit and I asked people, Night in the Woods blew my mind. What else should I play that's really cool like this? And they gave me two suggestions. They said you should try Undertale and you should try Hollow Knight. So I purchased both of those games. And Undertale is the one that I did play. And I've played, I want to say, about 2 hours of this game, roughly. It's a 6-hour-ish campaign from what I understand. So I'm about almost a third of the way through it. But Undertale is a very simple 8-bit old school feeling title. And when you jump into it, like if it opens up not windowed, which is really weird. So on your computer, you're on my big, huge like monitor, the window is like 3 inches of my 32-inch monitor. So it's really strange. But then when you go full screen, you see the full experience. So imagine you're playing Game Boy. Like that's what this game looks like.
Right.
More so. And it has the mentality, a little bit of Pokemon, kind of, in that as you're wandering around, like something will pop up and then you'll be engaged in a battle. So you can fight, you can use items, you can try and like act, you can coax, like taunt this person, this enemy, you can do different things with them, or you can try and run away and escape it and stuff. But the thing about this game is that there's a lot of character to it. Like, that's what sells this game.
I hear this game has a lot of heart.
Yeah, there's a lot of, like, literally, like, when you're introduced to it, they tell you, hello and welcome to this thing called there's this thing called LV. That is, and I thought that was your level. They're like, no, this is your love. So the more love you get, the better you do, and the more you go up in points and stuff like that. And then what you soon find out is that it's not just, you know, love. There is some evil people and monsters you have to fight throughout the battle. And there's a lot of different combat styles in here and characters that they've introduced. And just, it's a game where...
I'm watching this trailer and it seems interesting.
It's super interesting.
Not what I expected this game
would
be.
Well, I've been told that this game is one of those that is... It's, you know, while the graphics may look simple and while it may not be something that you would think as aesthetically so like overwhelming, it's all about like the characters and the story
right.
and the way that the dialogue is delivered and how like it again, like I'm going to reuse this phrase, but it has a lot of heart to it and that you get really connected with all the characters and the storyline.
So they have this feature when you're battling bad guys. It pops up just like you see the enemy in front of you and they're like a silhouette outline or whatever. And then when you're fighting them, you attack and use whatever you have. So you can equip an item and then use your sword or whatever to attack the enemy or use a special on them. But then when they're attacking you, you have this ability to block their attack. And the way in which you do that is really clever. It's a little square that has a heart in the center of it, a red heart. And then every enemy has a different type of... It's kind of like playing a game of Galaga where you're trying to dodge the plane, the ships and stuff.
Yeah,
but you're trying to use your heart to dodge whatever the enemy has as a attack. So, yeah. So, for example, some characters will... Like, there's a frog that you play early on, and it's just like a little silhouette of a frog leaping in the air. So your heart... You have to move your heart out of the way so you don't get hit by the frog. But then other times, there's these big, huge, like... layers of tears from this one character because they're crying and they're really sad. They're a ghost and they're really sad. So they're crying tears down and you have to dodge the tears to make sure you don't take damage. So it's a little mini game in trying to not take damage in addition to fighting back. So I think it's a really interesting gameplay, really clever. There's a part where you run into two characters or skeletons and one is called Sans. And the other one is called Papyrus. And I think that's so cool because, like, as a designer myself, like,
oh my gosh.
Sans is the lack of something. So they have, like, serifs and then sans serif. Sans serif is, like, Arial fonts and stuff like that. So that's a play on the typography, and then they have Papyrus, which is the most hated font in the world, and yeah, a designer standpoint. So I wonder if like he is a designer.
I thought it was Comic Sans.
Yeah, so it is actually on the Comic Sans too. So which is funny. Yeah, so they're both hated characters, but like you know, there's that type reference there. So you have Comic Sans, and then you have Papyrus essentially, but they just call him Sans. But is like this fun skeleton little squatty character that wants to be friends with you, and the other one he's like dying to find a human because if he finds a human, like he does really well and he can move up in the rankings of the guards of whatever. And then so he finds you and he's like, I'm gonna throw these puzzles at you, human, and make it so it's really hard for you to get past these things so you can't get through. And then you just like walk across this level and he's like, oh crap, I screwed up, I didn't do the right thing. And it's just, you know, really silly moments that you play through that just have a lot of heart and character to them that you don't normally see in games. So,
sure.
It's cool. I like it. I think it's, I actually put delay, but I think it's going to be a dig.
Oh,
it's
nice.
Cheap.
How much is it?
I don't
know. You got it on Steam, did you?
I've been told that I need to play this game by numerous sources.
$10.
Delay for $10, Brett.
I know.
Really?
Well, because I didn't know the price until now. So there we go.
Really?
Overall reviews on Steam are overwhelmingly positive. 95% of people.
Yeah.
And the reason's been very positive. So, you know, I mean, obviously this game's doing something right.
Came out 2015.
Did this company make anything else?
No, it's just a dude.
Oh, this dude, this one dude.
Toby Fox is his name.
Wow. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
And he's
a publisher. Toby Fox.
He made it. And he was like, hey, here's a game that's really cool. Try it.
Hey, nice.
Made it himself. So it's
cool.
Yeah, it's a dig. It's fun. All right. Anyway, so that's going to be it for our games this week. Stay tuned.
Didn't play much, but that's all right.
From our gaming news. Yeah, we'll have a lot more coming up.
I want to say something. PUBG update. Awesome.
I knew it.
It's great. I love it. Play first person.
We talk about this every week, Austin.
I know, but they just got a new update.
That's true. Okay, so yeah, PUBG, we got first person mode. That's really cool. They fixed the servers. It's a lot better. It's
fun. No more lag.
If you're not playing
more crates.
PUBG by now,
do you know
like,
you can sell crates on Steam?
Oh, yeah, the marketplace, yeah.
What the hell?
That's a new thing, I think.
Dude, that blows my mind. That is so stupid. I'm sorry. That is
like
so stupid.
CSGO, Global Offensive, because they do that.
Josh already got his money back for buying PUBG. PUBG is now free for him.
Seriously?
Yes. It's so stupid. Like, that's great, but that is so stupid. I don't know.
Wow.
Interesting.
I am thoroughly against this. Just fucking use your in-game currency and not make it... microtransactions out the ass. It just really pisses me off.
Okay, so...
Pay $50 to be good.
If you haven't played PUBG, go check it out.
It's
a love-hate
superficial
relationship.
Stuff.
Whatever.
But yeah, it's all like, I mean, you can be a lumberjack. That's really cool. You can get like a flannel shirt and stuff. It's really awesome. Yeah.
Well, you guys hate microtransactions just as much as I do. Please leave us a comment.
Leave a comment.
All right. So that is it for our games this week. Stay tuned for our gaming news
from around the world.
You're listening to The Inner Gamer.
Welcome back. It's time for our gaming news. In this segment, we are going to share the best headlines from the week in the gaming industry.
Woo!
Starting number one.
Woo!
Stardew Valley. You guys played it? You guys love it?
I do like Stardew Valley. That game was a lot of fun.
So good.
Not my kind of game.
Like, I can see how Luis sunk so many hours into it.
Well, he does want to get his own farm now in real life, so...
So, minus Austin, next year, in 2018, we can play it in multiplayer. Oh, damn.
We can have a giant farm together.
Yes. So, multiplayer will be played through players' ability to build up to 3 cabins on their farms for farmhands, which will be controlled by other players.
Hmm.
So, it sounds like you'll have people who can work on your farm with you and work together to
make one farm.
One
amazing.
Farm. Amazing.
One giant farm.
So,
the mecha farm.
So whose farm is going to be worked on?
The Inner Gamer's farm.
We're going to have
our own farm digitally. Nice.
It's the Inner Gamer farm.
We'll
harvest
take over.
Corn and
It'll
wheat
so
and nerds.
Good. I can't wait. It's going to be cool.
That's
but
cool.
I mean, that's nice that they're... I mean, I still... This game blows my mind because of how it was one guy that developed it over so many years.
Yeah.
And... He's still supporting this game and adding multiplayer to it. Like that's crazy. That's an impressive.
Well, it's thing and it's, for, well, it's like Minecraft. Lynn's Credence. Well, it's got a huge following now, and yeah, people who like Minecraft, those kind of like, you know, those open ended style buildings and shit. I mean, hell, Notch worked on Minecraft for how long before he finally passed the torch?
Yeah,
dude worked on it for years.
And like himself, like, you know, it wasn't he yeah, was wasn't coding it
no.
together?
No.
That's just that makes me so happy.
So now that we're seeing multiplayer, like, I mean, it's a natural progression of things, so that's great.
Oh, and players can marry each other.
Adorable.
So
all right,
Devin can
y'all
marry
married.
Sweetheart.
That's
you gonna marry Luis?
My mother will kill me if I marry a Mexican. No, I'm just kidding.
Why'd you single me out?
I don't know.
That's funny.
So it is coming for the Switch, if, for those who don't know.
Yeah, I can't wait for the Switch game.
Oh, that's
that'll be
game.
Fun.
Oh, dude, yeah. And totally with multiplayer,
it's
perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get it right, Nintendo.
Awesome. Cool. Well, next up on our list of things, this was fascinating to me. This is a Kotaku article, and there is a game called Grimoire, not to be confused with Destiny's Grimoire cards. And this game started development in 1997 and just came out last Friday. 20 years of development.
20 years.
That is so long.
This game better be amazing.
Apparently, it's supposed to be one of the best RPGs ever, according to the developer.
Okay, according to the developer. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
So,
snake oil peddlers used to say the same thing. It'll make your hair grow. Cure your impotence.
Exactly. But, I mean, it's super crazy. I mean, can you imagine 20 years of developing one single title?
Was it one dude?
No, they had a couple people that were working on it.
Even then, like, that is just bizarre to me.
Hey, you guys want to spend the next 20 years making this one game without working anything else and not learning your craft?
What are you working on for 20 years? Come on!
Like,
I mean, I don't want to doubt the game and its quality, but it's like 20 years? Dude? Really?
So he said that he's done a series of crowdfunding campaigns. Back in 2013 he did, so that was like 5 years ago. And it was delayed several times due to many, many different types of things. But it's interesting because now that it's out. So what he said was it's the greatest role-playing game of them all, and it's finally ready for release. That's what he says. And it's a homage to Dungeon Blobbers and is inspired by Wizardry, Might and Magic, Lands of Lore, Anvil of Dawn, Dungeon Master, and the Eye of Beholder games. But
that's a lot of inspiration.
Reviews are saying that it crashes at launch. When it doesn't crash, it crashes on any menu when buttons are pressed. And when you actually get in the game and it doesn't work, maybe in a few patches the game will be worth keeping. But right now, stay away. So it's getting...
So far right now.
Some good reviews.
So
but
20 years later, we still can't get it right.
Yeah. But it's crazy how old looking it is. I mean, because it's started in 1997.
Well, they started in 1997, yeah. Brett.
But I mean, it's funny, though, because it is appropriate right because there are so many games that are like old that are new.
That's fine.
So it makes sense. But yeah,
I like how it's 4x9 or what is it?
4:3.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
I was like 14x9. I was like, that's not a ratio.
It's so crazy, though, man.
I dig it.
This looks like
I respect it for being
Oregon Trail. That's what it looks
I may
like.
Give it a shot. I may.
You might want to wait, though.
How much is it?
How much is it on Steam? Give me the price.
Oh, my God.
$40? Fuck off, sir.
Wow.
No.
You got to be kidding me, bro.
Well, no.
Hey,
maybe 10.
That's something.
Maybe
no,
10.
Absolutely not.
That should
not.
Be a $5 game.
Absolutely not.
I know you put 20 years into that, but fuck.
Lofty goal, sir. I will wait until Steam says 80% off.
That'll be coming for
the holiday
winter
sale.
Sale, yeah.
It's fine.
All righty.
Next.
All right. Next article we have is a little bit of news on Titanfall 2, actually. Titanfall 2 came out last year. It came out around the same time as Battlefield 1. And recently, Vince Zampella, who actually, little fun fact, was one of the founders of Infinity Ward that created the very first Call of Duty game. So this dude is a hero
vetted.
In my eyes.
Yes, a vetted individual.
Vetted individual. But he came out and said in a GameSpot interview that Titanfall 2 should have sold better. This is kind of obvious. If you guys go back to when it was first reviewed, we talked about it on this podcast. I said it wasn't amazing, wasn't very incredible. But then I waited until kind of everything died off and jumped back into it back in February or March, roughly. And thought it was fantastic.
Yeah,
finally went through and finished it. it was just the wrong time. And he said it was still
competing with Overwatch.
Oh, yeah. Overwatch.
And I'm sorry, Overwatch took everything. Like,
and then, yeah, there was just a lot of stuff that came out all at once. And he said maybe it's because it was super crowded, the pricing was aggressive, it was a rough window to launch our game. I think all of that is true. I mean, it was super crowded. It was a rough window. The pricing wasn't aggressive. I mean, that is so worth a full title game, full price game. But it just, they should have waited. That was a fall. That's a spring release.
Yeah, Origin. I mean, Origin. They shouldn't have done that. Or EA.
It's like, I remember years ago, before it was coming out, and I played the beta at your place, and I had a blast with it. Like, I could have seen myself buying that game perfectly, full price. I'd play that with my friends and just knock it out. But, like, dude, it was competing with Overwatch. And when everyone was playing Overwatch and we were just so ingrained in that.
And Battlefield 1.
I didn't play Battlefield 1.
I mean, October 21st, Battlefield 1 came out. October 28th, Titanfall 2 came out. November 4th, which is 4, 5, 6, 7 days later, Infinite Warfare came out.
God.
So it's surrounded by first-person shooters that have a namesake much larger than Titanfall does.
Right.
So
and they're like, yeah, we're pretty
naturally.
That is not just a saturated market. That is a drenched market.
Yeah. So I just feel bad for them because that could have done so much better. It's a fantastic game.
You said exactly this. Like,
yeah, yeah.
They should have done better.
And it's crazy because, like, for all the work they did on it, because, you know, the first one just being multiplayer and the second one, they were like adding in story and all the other cool shit you could do with it, just all the different perks that were added on. I do wish it would have sold better, or I wish it would have come out at a time where I would have been more focused to buy it and play it, because I did enjoy it.
I hope they don't put this
series to rest
because they do August 10th, actually. For those of you that don't know, they're making a mobile RTS game based on the Titanfall world called Titanfall Assault. So it'll be coming out on iOS and Android, and that is a current continuation of it, but there's no word yet whether they're going to have a Titanfall 3. But I hope they do, and I think that they have laid good groundwork. I mean, their multiplayer is fantastic. Like, I had a blast playing the multiplayer on this. I didn't play it as much as other things because I didn't have any friends to play it with, but it's a good multiplayer. It's a good game. It's a very, very well designed. So here's hoping. Here's hoping.
This is exciting.
Yes.
This next article here.
Next up.
Next news.
You want to
Blizzard has multiple new IPs incubating, but won't rush them out.
That is, I just the headline alone, like, just gives tingles.
So, yeah, like, I don't know what this means. I'm trying to, like, think, like, where Blizzard could go right now, because they already covered a lot.
What has Blizzard done lately? What I just mentioned, a shitload of Overwatch.
So we have Overwatch, which is a first-person shooter. We have Heroes of the Storm, which is a MOBA.
Yep.
We have Diablo, which is a isometric RPG.
The dungeon crawler.
We have World of Warcraft, which is an MMO.
Yep.
So their thing seems to be, let's create games in every genre. They're expanding into every... Oh, and then we have StarCraft, which is an RTS.
Yep.
So they have all of those. What is missing? A racing game. That would be crazy.
Yeah.
A sports game.
Well, here's the thing. They say multiple IPs. So there's a lot of routes they can go.
I know. It's nuts.
I mean, are we going to be getting into the realm of where we're going to do like a Warcraft RPG, like a full on.
That'd be cool.
Like first person RPG set in the Warcraft world.
And you know, every game that they've ever made has a multiplayer component. So it definitely needs, that's going to be the big focus around it. So I'm trying to think.
Blizzard's all about that community.
Yeah.
All about that community.
And their characters.
I can't see them making a game not esports focused, or at least in that same realm.
Really?
I mean, I guess I could.
Because you look at Diablo.
That's where it's at.
Diablo's not necessarily esports.
Overwatch and Heroes of the Storm are the only ones that they have that are really esports focused.
Yeah. Right.
Oh, I guess StarCraft. Half of their titles are esports focused. The other half are not.
I wonder if they're going to be making another MMO, like, and then just put like Diablo MMO or StarCraft MMO.
Ooh, like a StarCraft MMO?
Yeah.
Holy shit, snacks.
Remember when StarCraft Ghost was a thing for a little bit? That could be interesting.
What if they did blow our minds and be like, oh, remember that game you thought was dead?
That would be like dropping Half-Life Episode 3. Half-Life 2 Episode 3. Not as great, but that would be just as good.
But you know what? Like, The fact that they're saying they're not going to rush them just goes to show how smart Blizzard is.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I'm sorry. They know exactly what they're doing. They know exactly how they want to create their IPs, how to release them, what's include, like, what are all the features in every single one of them. They know what they're doing.
Right.
So the tail end of this article, which is on GameSpot, said that Overwatch was announced in 2014, and it was, I didn't realize the statistic, but it was Blizzard's first new IP in 17 years. 17 years.
30 million players.
30 million players it attracted, and the owner of the New England Patriots. So that's crazy. So, I mean, they clearly, like, Pats. That's a thing that they can do, but I can't really see what, I mean, right now we have, like, the Battle Royales.
Yeah.
They haven't done a whole lot in the way of adventure games, per se.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you know, that's like, fair.
You know, that would be really cool. RPGs,
see, that's what I was saying. It's like it'd be really cool to see them actually get into, I don't care if it's StarCraft or Warcraft, but maybe like a cool first-person adventure or a third-person adventure style game set in one of those.
Yeah, so
scenes.
You know what I think would be really interesting is it's a third-person.
Ooh, what if they did a horror game?
That would be interesting.
Holy shit.
I'm thinking a third-person cooperative adventure game. So like the idea of Diablo, where you can have four player cooperative, but it's driven, it's fully 3D, it is third person view, and it's adventure style.
Do you think they're ever going to get into VR?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Not anytime soon. I feel like Blizzard is the kind of studio that they're going to do it when it's like really right for them.
Mm.
They tend to, I don't think there are anybody that's like always jumping on the cutting edge of hardware, you know? Like,
yeah.
When Overwatch came out, didn't support 21.9.
It was just a random thought, but it's like it. I'm not saying like this would be it, but it would be kind of interesting if that was something that.
I'm sure they would do it. They would do it really well.
Oh sure.
And like so, in that, if they have any intention, it'll be something we wouldn't see for like another 5-6 years probably, because they're going to. They're going to do it. They're going to make it right. They're kind of like Rockstar in that sense where Rockstar, they don't give a shit. They're going to take their time to make something really, really good.
You were going to wade through the sands of the desert until you find our oasis of a game.
Exactly.
What if they made their own version of Smash?
I was just thinking that actually. I was like, I don't know what that would look like.
I don't know either. That's basically Heroes of the Storm.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Hearthstone still has a whole cult
I forget
following.
About Hearthstone. Holy shit. That's like a massive
game
in itself.
That's a huge one. That's another esport that they really rein in.
God.
We see that at every single con we go to.
Yeah.
I've at Comic-Con, I've seen it at PAX, we've seen it at South by Southwest. I mean, damn, it is everywhere.
People love that game. It's just so easy to get into.
It is.
Anyway.
Awesome. Oh, well.
Well, last article we have for you guys. This is kind of a fun fact here. There is a guy on Twitter. His name is, or you can find him at twitter.com/boundarybreak because they have a TV show on YouTube. But
exciting.
What they've done is he's somehow figured out how to hack into Mario Kart somehow.
Shit.
And
Hacker.
He's zoomed out of the Mario Kart 8 levels to show the scale and detail of these tracks. So Austin, if you pull up his Twitter, you'll see it in his like tweets that he put out, because he put pictures and stuff. But like if you go to his Twitter page, he has it. He's working on a video. I don't believe he actually has brought it out yet. It's really, wait. There we go.
Man.
There it is. Yeah. So he has shown what these levels look like from way back. And it's fascinating because these things are so detailed. And there's parts where like he shows the little piece of the track, and then there's this massive world that they built around it that you don't even realize is there because you don't pay attention
by
to it. Yeah. So just seeing what this looks like from not on the ground, but like way far back. Like they have that one level that is inside of a bedroom. Kind of like Toy Story-esque or whatever.
Yeah.
The track is super small on the ground, but when they zoom out on it, you can see like there's a fully rendered bed in the background, and there's little items, like there's a little Yoshi board game box that's in the in the corner.
That's
and
cool.
That's just crazy to see. It's just really, really neat. So I would go check it out. Twitter.com/boundarybreak. And it's really nice to see
that is
the, you know,
all
maps
the detail
from a different perspective.
Nintendo's put in that you always miss when you're playing Mario Kart.
Totally.
To focus on that fucking blue shell coming up at you.
Yeah. So that's going to conclude our new segment this week. If there's something that we missed, or if there's something you want us to talk about,
or if you find your own cool piece of news,
or if you have your own cool piece of news, hit us up on hello@theinnergamer.net.
Did you forget our own fucking email?
Well, because I rewrote this, so it threw me off. So anyway,
whatever.
Make sure you go to hello@theinnergamer.net. We'll be back with our discussion topic after the break.
You're listening to The Inner Gamer.
Hello, everybody. Our discussion this week is on paid betas and early access games. We're going to talk about this. We figured it'd be a good roundtable discussion because recently Fortnite just came out. It is essentially an early access, but you pay for it. And then if anybody's been playing PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, that's also early access.
Not this
guy. Then you pay for it. And
not me.
We were
You've
to talk
literally
about
talked
this
about
bit.
It on the podcast for the last four episodes.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I know. Yeah, basically. And then this episode, too. So
full of shit.
It's just always being talked about. But anyway, so let's talk about this. So just to kind of lay the groundwork a little bit, I want to explain what it is we're referring to. So if you guys are Steam players, we have early access games. Those are games that aren't finished yet, but are released to generate revenue for the game developers. So there's a lot of them out there. If you guys ever played Rust, if you played PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, if you played Kerbal Space Program, there's a bunch of titles out there that were in early access for a long time before they ever got an official release. So to some people, like, they've been out forever, but in reality they haven't actually come out yet. So there's that on Steam. Then you also have games like Fortnite, as we mentioned, which says, hey, this will eventually be free to play, but if you want to get early access to it, you can pay us money and get access to the game.
Right.
And I think Paragon did that too, didn't they?
Paragon.
They had like a founder's pack of some kind that you could
still
the game ultimately free.
Yeah.
So how do you guys feel about this? As let's start with, let's say, early access games. Like, what are your opinions on early access in the gaming world?
How early is early access?
Yes, that's a good point. How
that's
early
a big
is it?
That's a
I mean
big
technically
point you need to like define. That's a big definition that needs to be made when you're talking about early access, because some games have advertised early access when it was horseshit, i.e. look at Modern Warfare 2. Like, get early access, you got in a day earlier.
Oh, yeah.
Day. While there are other games out there who have done early access where it's like, you will be able to play certain missions of this game for like 5 days before the official launch.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily agree with early access games. I think that I want to say that if you're going to release a game early, release the game early. Don't do the early access thing. It needs to be, in my opinion, it needs to be a just straight up launch for all the player base, especially if it's a multiplayer game.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's...
So you're talking about like AAA titles doing early access type thing? Like, okay.
Yeah. Basically pre-order
yeah.
Like 5 days early or whatever.
Right.
Like, you know, my thought is on, like, say games like Ark Survival Evolved. That game is coming out, if I remember correctly, it actually just came out. So that just released. However, that game has technically been out for like 2 or 3 years. People have been playing it on PC forever, but it's been in early access. So it hasn't officially released yet, and now it's getting an official release. So like everybody's been talking about it, but this is another way to generate buzz because, hey, the game's actually coming out. But two, people paid for this game and they were paying for a beta to test it out to help the developers improve upon it.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's strange because I feel like this has changed the mindset a little bit.
It's changed the game.
It's changed the game a lot because it used to be a game would come out and you expect it to work.
Right.
Now a game comes out
and it's broken.
And it may or may not work because they have these early access builds. They have these paid beta things where you know it's not going to be finished, but people are willing to pay to get that game. Now, granted, they don't pay you, charge you more when it comes out, but for things like Fortnite, I mean, what do you guys think about that? Where you can pay $40 ahead of time. I mean, you get some bonus content.
Up to like 150.
Or up to 150. But it's ultimately going to be free for most players.
Yeah.
So if they want to do it that way. So from a consumer standpoint, is the value there to pay $40 to get a little bit of extra things when everybody else is going to be able to play it for free?
No.
So
it's a cheap cash grab.
It's weird. I mean,
given for that game, yeah, I think it is. Like, if I look at Dreadnought, which I paid for a Founders Pack,
yeah,
great game, playable. There are some bugs, but I mean, you played it too, mm-hmm. Dreadnought, amazing game.
Yeah, great
and
game.
I think it deserved the money it got for that. And it probably is a game by game basis, really. You know what I mean?
Right.
But I think it's changed the game, and I think people are kind of taking advantage of this. I mean, if you look at Star Citizen, how long has that game been in development? How much money have they made?
$74 million.
I mean, technically,
$76 million, something like that.
How long can you milk that? How long can you milk this beta period in order to get this money coming in? Obviously, they're using it for the game, which is what they need to be doing. But I just see this being taken advantage of now. Like, come out with a $35 game on early access on Steam? All right. Well, I don't want to finish anymore, but thanks for your money.
Well,
I mean, it's kind of like a Kickstarter thing, you know?
Exactly.
Oh, sorry, we can't. Something happened. Thanks for your money. Bye.
So it is interesting on that note because, you know, you have these games that for many of these titles don't ever get released. So you're giving them money. They don't have to now get beta tests. They don't have to hire beta testers. You're beta testing it for them.
Right.
And it could be going on forever. So what does a release actually mean for a game? Because at a certain point, like PUBG,
skewed.
For example, I mean, on PC, I mean, it's going to continue to amass a large player base, but it's already has a large player base and it's not even out yet officially. So like, it's a weird,
it's kind of a moot point when you call it early access.
Yeah.
And there's millions of players
playing.
My
consideration, like right now it is released. It's there. It's out. But it's buggy as shit. Now it's better now.
See, this is where I start thinking that maybe we need to change the terminology from early access to maybe a phase release. This is phase one release of the game. This is phase two release of the game.
That'd be nice. That makes sense.
This is my own personal opinion on it because early access and things like this, Minecraft did the same thing when it was talking about its early access or its beta, really. And millions of players were playing Minecraft and they were just flocking to this game in droves. And the official release, it's just like, okay, well, I'm officially just getting into the game.
Right.
Even though there's already millions of players behind me who are already crafting giant golden penis mountains or whatever.
True story.
It's good stuff.
I mean, what else do you build with gold?
Yeah.
But I mean, that to me is where I think change the terminology up.
Right.
I think that developers need, if you're going to go this route where you want to have people early on into like the early stages of the game playing your game, change it to, okay, this is going to be phase one release of the game. It's going to be only these multiplayer maps and these features only.
Right.
I'll charge you this much and here's a limited amount of space and I'm allowed to have people into it. As you get closer to your phase two, you can either retroactively charge them the remainder amount or you could just do like the lump sum fee for the full features or whatever. But I think that would be a smart move for developers to do. You're still getting your revenue that you have for all your people who are early access. And that's allowing you to get in there and work on the game and the key points that you know, like, oh, God, all these players are complaining about this, or, oh, man, our servers are really buggy right now.
Right.
Right. Well, and something else on that note that's, and I don't know how this works in the development sense of things, but like when you start working on a game, you put a budget in place of like, here's how much money we're going to spend on this game. This is the amount of features we're going to put into it based on the amount of time that we want to spend on it and the money that we have at hand to do it.
Yeah.
So that constriction prevents feature creep from happening where more and more stuff gets added in. But with early access, when you don't know when it's actually going to come out, you do this and you start, it gets really popular and you start getting more and more money, then suddenly that, you know, dissolves your original release date and you start getting all this extra cash and you're like, well, let's just put more stuff in here. But then it never actually releases.
Yeah.
And then so they start doing all these extra things and this feature creep starts happening.
Yeah.
But they don't ever fix the fundamental problems of the thing.
Then you get to the point where a game is 99% finished.
Right.
And they're adding, oh, now we want to add this feature. Oh, now we want to add this. And
there's a point where you got to like cut it off.
Yeah.
Actually bring it out and then make it good. I feel like early access is a cop-out way to release a game that's not finished.
Correct.
And never be finished.
Correct. And you'll see it from good developers who know that, say, we stopped the development here, we polished as much as we could, and then we'll take all the stuff that we wanted to do or all the stuff we couldn't do or fit in, be it monetary or time constraints or budgetary reasons.
Right.
We'll put that in the sequel.
Right.
We'll put that in our next release.
Right.
Or maybe just a later update DLC.
Well, as much as we hate Destiny, I mean, Destiny is kind of a good example because, Destiny got shit on for their first thing, but that was like their first foray into that new game.
You could call Destiny's launch phase one.
Right. Yeah.
Destiny was phase one of the launch.
That was a great game, but it was super buggy, but they never called it early access. They just said, hey, here's our game.
Destiny.
You know, fixed it over time.
I think that's when it should have been, this is early access. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because to me, a lot of people agreed that it felt like a beta.
Yeah.
Up to like the second DLC or third DLC. I don't know.
Yeah. We know
the last one felt more complete, the whole game.
Yeah.
But I mean, at the same time, you know, this is nice to have early access because it gives the developers a chance to get that game in the hands of gamers and then they get some feedback and help grow. Because like PlayerUnknown's Battleground, no way that it would be as polished as it is now, surprisingly. Like, even before this big update, when it was still a little choppy.
Yeah, but here's something that needs to be taken into consideration with that very point is the time in which you have your beta or early access release to the window of when the actual release is. And I'll give you a good example, is the beta for Star Wars Battlefront. I got into it, and I saw a shitload of issues in the beta, and then it was like 3 days later, it was released officially. It's like, what can you do in 3 days to fix these problems?
Yeah, and that kind of thing. So Battlefield 1 did a good job with that, which is funny because it's the same team. But Battlefield 1, whenever it came out, they released their beta, and actually they must have learned from Battlefront because they made it better with Battlefield 1. So Battlefield 1's beta came out, I want to say 2 months beforehand. You didn't have to pay for this. It was just, here's some levels to try out and play.
Right.
And then afterwards, they had one of the most in-depth surveys I've ever seen from a post-beta game. Like, they went through and asked questions as detailed as, did you use this vehicle? Did you use this vehicle? If so, how did it handle? How did it drive? How did it shoot? They went very, very myopic with the
and you
feedback.
Never, you never see that, in my opinion.
Like, oh, no.
You never see that from a beta release. It's in... I've always, or at least my skepticism has led me to a very jaded sense of a beta is nothing more than just a playable commercial. In my opinion, at least in my
it's
experience.
It's like a demo kind of. Yeah. Like demos of the old.
Call it a demo.
Essentially. Yeah.
Call it a demo.
Basically is. Yeah.
While there are certain developers who do say this is a beta, please go to our Twitter and provide feedback. Please go. Or in this case, that's perfect that Battlefield was able to go, please go through this survey and fill out everything.
Right.
Like that to me is what a beta should be.
Right.
As opposed to what we've, and again, in my opinion, it's a playable commercial for the game.
I think that's what's really become an issue is that for one, I think it's really important that you get a game in the hands of players before you release it, because they are the ones that are going to encounter things that no matter how hard you test it, you're not going to find out.
You can put as many testers as you want on the game. There's going to be somebody in the game community who's going to find that one bug that just, oh shit, I didn't think of that.
Yeah. But it goes back to the idea that, you know, again, you start out with a budget in mind and you know how much you want to put into it.
Yeah.
So when you start charging people to test out your game, when in reality, your ultimate goal is to get them to test out this game, I feel like that's kind of cheating the player in a way.
You're really double dipping there.
Yeah.
Like if you're wanting feedback, do early access and you can do it for people who've pre-ordered the game.
Yeah.
But if you're straight up charging, if you pay me $30, I will let you play my unfinished game. And then when the game comes out, you got to pay for it again.
I mean, I think, Sea of Thieves is doing it, I think, right. In that Sea of Thieves has an insider program. You sign up for the insider program. You are put on a list of, you know, whenever we have invites available, we will then give you a client to download and play it for free and give us feedback. There's a private forum. You can go in there and interact in the forum. You can talk with people. You can interact with the developers. Like, that's how they're doing their early access. Mm-hmm. So there's two things about that. One, you don't have to pay for it. And then two, it is closed and they can control how much they let in so that they know they have a timeline laid out of what they want to put in this game so that they can control when they add new people into it based on their roadmap that they have set out for the game.
Right.
So there's no issue of, oh man, suddenly this game got really popular. We just got $1 million. Let's throw all this $1 million at all these different things that wasn't in the original vision of the game.
Right.
I think that's where things get disconnected and broken.
Yeah.
So you have this extended beta period.
Yeah.
You know, we just continuously playing a half-assed game, waiting for more stuff to come out. Yeah. It's just like, well, why is this
man,
a beta?
I've enjoyed playing this half-created game for 3 months. What a treat.
Right.
I mean, I don't know how long PlayerUnknown's been out, but it's been out for a little bit.
Yeah. Not for a while. A couple months.
Yeah, four or five months.
Since like last fall.
No, it hasn't been out that long.
Okay. That's
impressive. Because it was H1Z1. I think it came out, I want to say, 3 or 4 months ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I mean, this buzz has been like brand new.
Right. So, what do you think about reviewing these early access games, these paid betas?
What do you
mean? Like, these games come out, right? And because I was talking to Charlie, one of our other hosts. And
when should you review it?
Can you review, like, we've been talking about Fortnite. We're trying to make a video on it. Like, can we review this game objectively right now? Technically, it's not out. It's not complete.
That's true.
There's still time for stuff to change. But I feel like doing these early access is a good thing and a bad thing. And one of the bad things is it could kill your game.
Right.
If people don't like it right now.
Yeah.
So it's like, why? Someone already spent $35. They're going to tell the people.
That's a fine line to walk, especially because if what you've been working up to this point is being primarily negatively reviewed, you've got issues. But I think that's also important. Like that would be important for a developer to go like, oh shit, we should probably back out of this because it's not being well received.
Right.
Rather than releasing an entire title and then watching it just fall completely flat on its face, No Man's Sky. Excuse me.
Which apparently, so this is a side note, but have you guys seen the ARG they've been doing for the last like 3 or 4 months now? Yeah, they've been doing this ARG thing where they're doing like what they did with Overwatch with Sombra, and they're revealing all this thing. There was a Twitch stream that happened this past week. I should have put in the news. I didn't even think about this, but there was a Twitch stream that happened where it was just something on screen on this Twitch channel for like an hour. Or however long it was, and this was related to this upcoming update that is coming with No Man's Sky, and they're putting all these hints out there about what it could be, and they're just building up all this hype, but nobody knows what it is. But they've done like, you know, just like releases about like weird information. They've done these Twitch streams. They've done all these different things.
So for the four people still playing No Man's Sky, they're just really excited.
Apparently there's still a decent amount of people that played it since that last update.
I don't believe that.
I know. It's
nuts. It's
we
weird.
Haven't heard a single thing.
Not a peep.
A single thing. After that update happened, like that was it for me. Like I haven't heard. Anyway. Neither here nor there.
Neither nor there. Yep. So, Yeah, so I mean, I don't think that early access should go away, but I have a really hard, I have a frustration with early access being something you pay for.
Right.
I don't necessarily think that should be a deal. I mean, there's
They say it's going to be cheaper. Like if you buy on Steam, like it's supposed to be cheaper than the actual release of the game, right? At least that was my impression on some of these things. So
usually, yeah. But I mean,
I agree that it shouldn't be paid for, and if you do pay for it, then that needs to go towards your actual full ownership of the game when it does officially release. To that point as well, like if you're an active player getting an early access game or a beta or whatever it is you want to say about it, like if your feedback actually contributes and helps, if you're playing it and you're giving back that critical feedback to make the game a success, does help. I think credit needs to be given where credit's due in that respect. And I don't necessarily think a refund should happen, but maybe something else for those players who did come in and help contribute after the fact that the game's released. Not just like anybody who gets early access gets to have the super mega ultra gun. And
right.
But, you know, just something. It could just be like something just cosmetic that says a jacket for a fighter. Oh, cool. I was in the early access and I helped out.
Right. They should do that because, like, Dreadnought has that. If you pay for Founders, you get, like, some Founder stuff that only Founders get. So,
and I really, my final point, I'll just say it needs to shift to phase release of a game.
Yeah.
Phase one, phase two.
I'd be okay with that. I mean, that's actually what Star Citizen's doing, is that they brought it out in components.
Yeah.
So the first thing they released was their space battle program, essentially. Actually, no, the first thing they released was you can walk around a ship and see the 3D scene. And then they added in space battles. And then they added in a second component, which was first-person shooter component, but those are separate. And then now they have it to where you can actually fly around and then land on planets. So they've added that in. So they've been like slowly releasing things. So for people that paid for it, like you can interact with the game and do these things that are piecemealed. So they're not going to be broken every time or like super, super buggy.
Right.
You're just getting a component of this. And that's good. Player Unknown's Battlegrounds launched March 23rd on early access.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, wow. About almost 5 months ago.
Wow.
So
cool.
Yeah. But yeah, so if you guys have any comments on paid betas
let
and early access games, let us know.
Kind of murky about this, are we? It's just like
it's a murky world, man. Yeah. And I don't think we're gonna see any kind of major answers for anywhere close to the near future. It's gonna just take.
So, is this a good thing or is this a bad thing? Paid betas.
I mean, for me, it's a bad thing. But that's my opinion, and the reason for that is what I've said earlier is that you shouldn't have to pay for something that's not finished.
Right.
I think you should allow people to try it out and give feedback so that when they are ready to buy it, they can buy a game and they can see what's happened to it and feel that their purchase was warranted and that their purchase actually impacted or their input impacted what they paid for.
Right.
Rather than I'm going to pay you to help make your game better.
Right.
You know, it's kind of like paying somebody to like typically you hire somebody to work for you to help you out. It's not, they don't pay you to help you with stuff. Yeah. So it's difficult.
The mechanic doesn't pay you to work on your unfinished car.
Right. Yeah. So it's weird, but I don't know.
I mean, yeah, I think that's what my biggest fear is that, I mean, I think we're already kind of there.
It's definitely people a sign of this generation though. Like this is this generation's thing.
Yeah. You know, it's very true.
This is what we're seeing in this generation is everything's early access. And it started with these survival games. You know, I feel like that's where it became a major thing. These survival games are in this forever.
Right.
And don't ever break out of it.
Isn't Rust still in early access?
I think it finally got out.
Didn't the main guy quit or something?
I don't remember.
Or the guy was like, I'm done. I don't want to make this game anymore.
It was in early access forever though. I think it was.
So it's just like stuff like that. That just gets me down. Yeah. It's like, man, you pay for a game and you expect it to come out and then it gets canned or whatever.
Yeah. So I don't know.
Anyway.
But yeah, if you guys have any feedback on this conversation, your thoughts on early access, let us know in the comments. We would love to hear your thoughts. And if there's something you want to hear us talk about in the future, let us know at hello@theinnergamer.net, and we will probably have a discussion topic here in this room about it.
Or you can go to Patreon and donate, and if you donate, we might be able to have you on.
Yeah. Boom. That's a thing, too.
Wink. And what's your favorite paid beta, and what's your worst favorite paid beta? Or your worst beta? Paid beta. What am I saying?
Words.
Best and worst
that aren't coming
out.
Of the
betas that are paid, because there are many of them.
So that concludes our discussion topic. We'll be back after the break.
You're listening to The Inner Gamer.
Looking forward to next week. Let's talk about our upcoming video game releases and what we are planning on playing for the upcoming future. We've moved this segment around a little bit, but we're excited to have this at the tail end of the podcast. So we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 games that we want to talk about. There's actually more, but these are our handpicked games, or at least my handpicked games. Sorry, guys. You know, they're handpicked by me. But coming out on August 11th, we have Sudden Strike 4 for the PC, Mac, and Linux platforms. This is an RTS game in World War II where you command the Allied, German, or Soviet forces. You will lead over 100 units into battle, like the German bomber, the Heinkel HE-111, the Russian T-34 tank, the British Hawker, Typhoon fighter plane, and much more. It's an RTS game. There's not many of these out there in the world, so if you guys are interested in real-time strategy games, take a look at this one. In addition, August 14th, we finally have StarCraft Remastered for the PC and Mac. It's basically StarCraft from 1998 with all the expansions, 4K graphics, matchmaking, leaderboards, and cloud saves.
And it looks pretty good.
It looks pretty good. I'm going to get it, actually. It's $14.99, and I love StarCraft original.
Who doesn't love StarCraft?
Yeah, I love it.
Construct additional pylons, bitch.
Construct additional pylons. Zerg Rush, man. Zerg Rush.
Fuck you.
Actually,
Terran.
I was always a big Terran guy, but I always got stomped because the players that were really good at the game were really, really good at Zerg Rushes and Protoss, Zealots attacks or whatever. So they would always kill me with that stuff. But I still like doing my bunkers and all that jazz. So it was fun. So that's coming out. In addition, we have on August 15th, Agents of Mayhem on PC, Xbox, PS4. This is from the creators of Saints Row. And in this game, you run a no-holds-barred operation against a shadowy supervillain organization known only as Legion and their mysterious leader, the Morning Star. Explore the city of Seoul, Korea, as a variety of super agents to thwart Legion's vile plans to take over the world. You guys watch this? Agents of Mayhem?
It looked cool, but then I heard reviews were not that great.
It's strange. Like, so everybody's surprised that they like are departing from the Saints Row series and making something new. And this is a weird mix of good, and I just don't know what to think of it.
Yeah.
It reminds me of, did you guys ever play APB, All Points Bulletin?
I never played it, but a lot of people and when I was in college, a lot of my roommates did.
Yeah, so that was kind of an interesting game. For some reason, it reminds me of this. I'm not really sure why, but it's got a similar vibe feeling, even though it's not villains and stuff. But we'll see. We'll see how it reviews. I think this will be something that will be a wait till after that kind of thing.
This is a wait and see.
Yeah.
Basically. Sorry, guys. If you want us to review it, we're not.
We're
not.
Mayhem.
Also on the 15th, we have a game called Matterfall coming out on the PS4. As a hero for hire, survive high-intensity side-scrolling war zones and vertical cities overrun by mysterious, quote-unquote, smart matter. Weaponize alien tech to destroy enemies infected by deadly red matter and control blue matter to manipulate the world and forge the path onward. I've been hearing a lot about this, actually.
Matterfall.
So that's why I threw it in here.
Yeah.
I don't know what this is.
Yeah,
find out.
It's pretty cool. Yeah. It's coming out on the 15th. Last but not least, we have two more games coming out on the 15th. Sonic Mania, PC, Xbone, PS4, and Switch. Sonic Mania is an adventure game with Sonic Tails, Sonic. Yeah.
It's a Sonic game.
It's Sonic. Check it out.
Sonic.
You're going to get it, so just get
it. It's great. And the last thing we have is Nidhogg 2 for PS4. The rules are simple. Reach the other side and kill anyone that stands in your way. Deftly parry and rend their throats, riddle their bowels, and with arrows or squish their brains between your toes. The worm cares not for chivalry.
This is going to be featured at our meetup, I'm telling you right now.
Oh, really?
Yes, I'm buying this game. I got to play it. It's a 1v1.
Oh.
But it's this wacky, weird,
you played the first one?
Tug of war. No, I didn't play the first one, but this was at the Mix LA we went to during E3. And this game is amazing.
Wow.
Like, okay. it's tug of war. So you have to get through all these different paths. And as you kill the person, you just keep running, you know, left or right, depending on what side you're on. And it's a lot of fun. You can you have swords and stuff, and so you can actually throw your sword at someone to kill them. You have to watch it to understand it. Get it. It's worth it. And it's only like $15 on Steam.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Well, I'm gonna check that out because the first one got reviewed really highly. So yeah. this one.
The first one's kind of like 16-bit.
Yeah.
But this one is like full HD.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, there we go. That's the release. It's coming out next week. And that's going to wrap up our show. Be sure and check us out next Tuesday for more from your favorite video game podcasts. Visit theinnergamer.net for our latest episodes, blogs, videos, and social channels. If you like what you hear, leave us a review on iTunes or tell a friend.
We also have a Patreon set up, which is a way for you, our listeners, to donate to the cause in order to bring you all the great content you want to see and hear. Plus, if you do support us, we have some awesome rewards waiting for you. Being a guest on the podcast, getting some exclusive content, or even joining us for maybe a session of D&D. So please head on over to theinnergamer.net and click donate to contribute. That'll conclude us today. My name is Devin Dury.
I'm Austin Morales.
I'm Brady Noski.
And you listen to
The Inner Gamer!
That was intense.
I don't know. I'm sorry.
You're hungry.
I'm very hungry. I'm leaving.
Bye.
Cheeseburger, but let me tell you about my diet I'm doing. I'm out of breath from walking in my car.
You okay?
Oh, I'm sorry. I just wouldn't use the bathroom. I'm so out of breath.
Jeez.
I've been at
that point. Let's talk about video games.
Yeah, yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
The cause of my laziness.
Fuck.
No.
Are we recording?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'll start here. There you go. Is Brett having a seizure?
That's like, terrible. You're laughing at that.
Notes. Brett. I don't know where I'm at.
Shut up. All right. 3, 2, 1.